Good morning. We're so glad to have you with us. You always honor us when you join us every other morning, and when we recognize the fact that you have a busy day ahead of you, but you want to start it in the Word. And yes, it is the Word for life. It's God's Word for your life. And as we consider, how does God want to use me? Jonathan Baker was sharing with us the last time we were together how that the Lord worked in his life as a young person, and now he has joined our staff in so many areas of AV and computers and all these kinds of things that enable dumb people like me to do what God's called me to do, and I have no clue how to do anything else. And Jonathan, we're glad you're on the staff.
Thank you.
And so as we consider how it is that God wires people differently, doesn't he?
Definitely.
And so, you know, the more we talk, the more I realize that that's the way God works in a local church.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's definitely gifted the body in different ways. And I was even sharing with you yesterday how God was really comforting me as I was going through a study on what it means to be a pastor, and how God was really comforting me that, no, he did not call me to be a pastor, and that is okay.
Yeah, yeah. And as we said on our last broadcast, sometimes young people feel like, well, if God hadn't called me to be a pastor, I don't guess I can serve him.
Exactly. But there's so many ways and so many other needs within the body.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm just so thankful that God has enabled mechanics to know what they're doing. I mean, we had a ministry in Georgia and had like 23 Sunday school buses. And, of course, you don't buy a brand new Sunday school bus. You buy an old clunker and you put it together with duct tape. And so we had a guy on staff. That was his full-time ministry, was just keeping the buses running.
Yep. And then you need somebody with a CDL to drive them.
Exactly. Exactly.
I've been finding even this last week, I mean, we need an electrician and need somebody that has a basic understanding of construction to do installs and painting and cleaning stuff up and basic electronics. Even the IT stuff, there's men in the church that are really gifted with IT and
information technology.
Yep, and the computers and keeping our email running and all of that.
Sure.
So there's lots of different ways. Website, something for a lot of younger people now is social media, and that's become a real tool that could be used by the church and could be used more so by missions, but they need people to get them up and running on it.
Exactly. In fact, there are probably enough older missionaries like myself that people that have those skills could maybe just travel the world in their retirement years and just spend a week here and a week there and a week there with various missionaries and just simply help them with all their technology during the week that they're there. What a ministry that would be.
Absolutely.
And it could be that we are talking to some folks right now this morning, John, that they could do that. And maybe God could just use our words to kind of begin to cause them to say, man, yeah, maybe I need to pray about that.
Absolutely. I know an older gentleman at my home church in Virginia that after he retired, he had been working with computers in his job, and he retired, and he and his wife went to Albania to serve on short-term missions there.
Okay, okay.
And just doing computer work for a Christian school there, and his wife was helping to teach. And
oh, wow.
They were just putting the skills that they had done while they were here stateside to use on the mission field and serving missionary kids in that Christian school.
And so the folks that are listening to us this morning are saying, well, yeah, but I don't have computer training. So the question is, well, what do you have in your hand?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, and it's that discipleship idea. It's that body idea. It's that taking all that you have and giving it so that God can use it in the life of another person, use it for the furtherance of the gospel.
Right. It reminds me of the passage of Scripture where God is talking to Moses, and he is saying to him, Moses, I want to use you. I want to send you back to the land of Egypt. And he says, by my hand, I will use you and I will bless you. And Moses kept giving excuses. And finally, God said, Moses, what is that in thine hand? And he says, well, a shepherd's staff. And he says, throw it down. And when he threw it down, it became a what?
Snake.
A snake, a serpent. And then he said, now, Moses, I want you to reach down and pick it up. Now, that's probably the hardest part, you know, pick up a writhing snake on the ground. But Moses reached down and picked it up, and it became the shepherd's staff again. And God said the same power that enabled that shepherd's staff to turn to a snake and then back is the power I will use to work through you. And so many times, I think, John, we say, Lord, I'm unable to do this or that. And so the Lord has to say, what is that in thine hand? Throw it down. In other words, give it up to God's control. Let God make out of it what he wants it to be.
Exactly. And then he took even that tool that he had as a shepherd,
yeah,
and used that tool for his purpose. But then on the flip side of that, not only was God's power changing that tool for his own use,
yeah,
but
yeah,
he's saying, with that same power, I can also enable you to speak. Because he's like, why are you asking me to speak? I don't have a tongue. Get Aaron to do it. He can talk.
His brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, Moses tried to tell God that he stuttered, you know. And so many times we tell God what we can't do. And God is saying, I want you to try. You know, my wife is one that when she was in high school and had to give a speech in speech class, she would break out into hives and her arms and her neck would just be red with hives. And so she would wear a long sleeved dress and something with turtleneck and just to try to cover up the hives. And she would stammer and stutter and get through her speech. But God was designing her to become a teacher of ladies, and she spoke a few months ago to over 300 ladies at a women's conference. Now, that didn't just happen overnight. God had to get her into a situation where she was forced to speak.
Right.
And I don't have time to tell the story, but she was chosen to be the secretary treasurer of her freshman class in college simply because she made a nomination that was very, very funny for the president. And so then everybody said, oh, she would be cool as our secretary treasurer. And so they immediately voted her in. That meant every month she had to stand up and read the minutes of the previous meeting to probably 400 or 500 freshmen.
Nice.
And God was stretching her.
Yes.
And, you know, so many times that's the way God is, isn't it?
Yes. God doesn't want us to come to him in our strength and our accomplishments. He wants us to come to him empty as a beggar, really having nothing.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how we come to him in salvation.
Mm.
And that's how we come to him in sanctification.
Yeah.
And that's how he changes and uses us, because it's not about what we do. It's about the work that he's doing in us. He's the one changing us. And it's really not because we've accomplished anything.
Mm.
It's that he has changed us and made us into what he needs us to be for his glory.
It's kind of like the comparison between King Saul and King David. King Saul, head and shoulders above everybody, an obvious leader, but boy, did he blow it.
Yep.
And then there's King David, a simple shepherd boy who had no height. He had nothing going for him except what God was doing on the inside of him. And so when he sees Goliath and he hears Goliath trashing his God, he says, what's going on? Is there not a cause? And I really believe that so many times when we walk with God like David did, we will be humbled, but God will be the one who gives us the strength.
Absolutely. And I was reading in James just last week where he's saying that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I was thinking, you know, how often do I come to God in my pride and I want to do it. I want to get myself to the level where I'm useful to God on my own strength. I want to fix my problems, but I don't want to come to him empty. I don't want to be viewed by God as a beggar, having nothing.
Right.
And say, you know, God, I have this problem and I cannot change it. I cannot fix it. I cannot make myself useful to you, but I want to be used.
Yeah.
Will you change me? Will you help me? And that's the humble person.
Right.
And that's the person that God can then show grace to and lift
up
to use.
You know, John, sometimes the humility part is what we need to be open to counsel, to just speaking to someone about an issue that we are dealing with.
Absolutely.
Because if we aren't humble enough to say, I need help, here's my situation, here's where I've blown it, then we continue to try to fake it.
Absolutely. That's something that I was really challenged with a few years ago. I had a friend praying with me, and in his prayer, he said, God, would you please help John Baker to be okay with being a sinner? And that phrase just shook me. And I was like, no, I'm not okay with being a sinner. I don't want to be viewed as a sinner. But in reality, I am a sinner.
Saved by grace.
I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I have to be willing to admit that, or God can't change me.
Yeah, yeah. But usually our pride goes back to our image.
Yes.
And when we're concerned about our image, we're not thinking about his image.
Absolutely. That's exactly it. We've got that image, that's that pride that then gets in the way of God's grace. God can't show his grace when we're trying to do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But he can show his grace, and he loves to show his grace to the humble, broken person that comes to him and says, I need you. Not that I deserve it, but I need you.
It's kind of like the verses in 1 Corinthians that says he uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That which the world looks at and goes, oh my soul, what is that? You know, that invalid or that whatever. And when we watch then how God uses that kind of a person, we kind of step back and go, whoa, okay.
Absolutely. That image of a beggar came to my mind last week as I was reading through James.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was just thinking how our culture views a beggar. And it's like, well, why aren't they out trying to get a job? Why aren't they out trying to better their situation
or
fix it themselves? And we have that view of the beggar of, well, they aren't trying to do anything to fix it, and so they aren't worthy of receiving help.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, they're doing exactly what God is telling us we need to do. We need to come before him as a beggar and be like, I can't do anything.
Right.
And I need you to.
And when we finally come to that realization, God says, well, you've now arrived. Come on in. Well, folks, our time has come to an end. I trust that our conversation this morning might challenge your thinking. Beyond that, challenge your praying. Lord, how do you want my day to change today? How do you want my perspective on this day to change? How do you want my service to change? And when you pray that kind of prayer, guess what? God will answer that one. Till the next time, God bless you. Have a fantastic day.